Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2020. This morning I will talk about identity. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one outside of time that created all things. We praise you for providing the bread of life and the wellspring of everlasting life, which is your Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the author of our faith and our only true friend. We thank you for simple things like family, bread to eat, clean water to drink, work to do, and friends in Christ. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to share our physical and spiritual gifts with those around us. First our family, then our friends, and even those we do not know well, so that your name will be praised among the nations. Forgive us when we play the fool out of pride, not for you, but out of our own ignorance. Humble us that we might become worthy servants of your church and not ourselves. Help us to find our identity in you, not in our friends, nor in our wealth, nor in our accomplishments, but in you, so that if we play the fool, it is for you and you alone. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In 1 Corinthians 4:10-12, we read, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure." What are you willing to suffer for? What is your passion? The Apostle Paul's passion was the gospel, and he lived the life of an itinerant evangelist. Paul never married nor had any children, and in spite of being highly educated, gave up a priestly or academic life. When Paul described himself as a fool for Christ, his Jewish parents probably agreed. Imagine attending your 30th doctoral reunion and rising to address your fellow graduates, saying, "I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 day and 1 night I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night and in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." This is 2 Corinthians 11:23-28. Unlikely to have been church leaders, Paul's classmates were more likely to have been synagogue leaders, high priests, government officials, and college professors. Unlike many of these, Paul hungered and thirsted for righteousness, treating his suffering like a resume and refusing a salary at one point to maintain the integrity of the gospel message. Like the one who sent him, Paul strived to live righteously. No doubt Paul's life of integrity also put him in tension with God. For example, God's answer to his prayer over thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," likely caused Paul much anguish before he developed the serenity to boast about God's object lesson. Another such lesson is the Eucharist, which reminds us of Christ by focusing on objects of hunger, that is bread, and thirst, that is water and wine, much like several of Jesus' miracles. Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine, while others involve multiplying bread and fish. The transformation of simple things like water and food into sacred objects must have perplexed the Greeks, who looked down on the physical world, like the earth, but looked up the spiritual world, like heaven. The sacraments and Jesus' miracles point to a simple but important spiritual reality. Man may not live by bread alone. Just as a sacrament is an outward sign with an inward meaning, physical things and circumstances have both outward and inward messages associated with them, which, for example, leads Paul to describe the body as the temple of God. If the physical body can become the temple of God, and mere food and drink can become sacraments, then food and drink stand at an important boundary between the physical and spiritual realities, where spiritual transformation can take place and God's love can be expressed as care for the poor and hungry. For example, God identified himself directly with the poor and hungry in the final judgment, as we read, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, where do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirst and give you drink?" Here, attitude and actions regarding the poor and hungry directly identify Christ's followers, modeled on the charity of Christ himself. "And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give the spring of water of life without payment." This is Revelation 21:6. If Jesus practices charity, then we should too, because our charitable obligation depends not on the good behavior of the recipients, but on our own identity in Christ. As we read in Matthew 5:43-46, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Our identity in Christ leads us not to judge the sinful, but to help the needy, as we read, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is John 3:17. Living in a wealthy nation, our charitable obligation, providing for the physical needs of those less fortunate, is bigger than most. For the first sin in the Bible was to lust after tree fruit, then the mark of the disciple would be to model Christ's abundant provision and to defeat the urge to sin. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.